The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Regular listeners know I do not interview many authors. In fact, very, very few. The book has to be unusual. It has to be a book that I really believe that my listeners will profit from. And I must say, I'm holding in my hand a wonderful book. And I have on the line an author that I can almost say, desperately wanted to interview now for a long, long time. Kosti Hinn, who is the president and founder of For the Gospel. Kosti Hinn, it is a delight and a privilege to welcome you to the program today.
Bob, thank you so much for having me on and for all that you do, brother.
The book is More Than a Healer, not just the Jesus you want, but the Jesus you need. It is a wonderful book. You need to get it. It's published by Zondervan. There is so much controversy about healing, faith healers, and so forth. And this is, it's just a wonderful, wonderful book. But before we get to the book, Kosti, I would imagine that many of my listeners know that you are the nephew of Benny Hinn, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right. I've got to ask you this up front. When, where, and how did God open your eyes to the false doctrine that your uncle, that I'm sure you love, was teaching and preaching?
Well, he did it a good number of years ago, and the Lord started that process over probably about a 10-year period, but everything came to a head in 2013. Funny enough, I was pastoring at a church. I was the youth pastor at a church, and we went through some transitions where we started to preach through the books of the Bible, and we were sick and tired of playing games. We were one of those churches that just sort of entertained people to get them in the door. And my pastor assigned me a text. It was John 5, 1 through 17, the healing at the Pool of Bethesda. And I figured I had the text nailed because I was a Hinn, and I just preach it the way I always thought it. And I remember discovering Jesus heals one man out of a multitude. He healed him immediately, and then the man didn't know who Jesus was. And that shocked me because I always thought it's always God's will to heal everybody, and healing can be a process. You just have to keep on believing and have enough faith, give enough money, and stick around the right ministries, and you'll get the power of God through healing. And then also that you had to have enough faith to get healed. Well, the man didn't know who Jesus was, and I remember looking and thinking, well, how in the world did he have enough faith to get healed? My pastor at the time, I didn't really know who the man was who wrote the commentary that my pastor had given me. It was by a guy named John MacArthur, who in that commentary was pretty clear about some things. And Pastor John MacArthur wrote in this particular section that this was an example of God's sovereign power in healing. He said, you know, it makes it clear Jesus still heals, but he does so with his sovereign power in his timing, and this man had no merits to get healed. And then he went off in the commentary section and said, therein lies the cruelest belief or lie of faith healers today, that if the people that they try to heal aren't healed, those people are to blame for unbelief, not enough faith, not enough offerings, all that. And Bob, I began to weep everything that I had ever questioned. And I had, believe me, I'd grown up in it. I had worked for my uncle. I was way more than deep. I was all in. I had had questions privately, but we were taught never touch the Lord's anointed, never question anointed man of God. Well, everything made sense. I began to weep. I repented of my sin, my false beliefs, the belief in a false gospel that Jesus' ultimate goal was to save me, but really make me healthy, wealthy, and happy. God went from being a magic genie who, you know, I rub right to get what I want. And I realized he's sovereign. He's the king of the world. He's the master of my life. And so my life got turned upside down in 2012 to 2013. That was the era of time. I was stripped of my pastoral title. I was silent for about 4 years. My pastor discipled me. I went to seminary, and I went from pastor in training to being ordained again. I actually got baptized biblically because a dear brother of mine had been, have you been baptized since your true conversion? Because I believe that I was a false convert. I got really saved, for real.
Yeah,
and so I took that step of obedience, and the Lord has been graciously letting us be a part of the local church for now some years. And we just try to serve and do what we can to equip the body and help wherever we can. Though we're not needed, it's a joy to be a part of ministry.
Now, go back, and I don't know how old you were when your uncle was doing some of the more outrageous things. I have an audio in my office, and if I had not heard it myself, I wouldn't have believed it, where your uncle was on TBN once, and he said, if you have had a loved one die recently, do not call the Undertaker. Those were the words he used. Do not call the Undertaker. Bring their dead body to the TV and put their hands on the TV, and the power of God coming through the TV will bring them back to life.
Yep.
When you heard things that were just so outrageous, what were you thinking?
I believed them. Although it wasn't something we were going to do, or we knew anyone immediately doing it in our town or our city, or our church, I believe that someone somewhere is taking a dead person's hand or, you know, a handkerchief. We used to tell people, we're going to send us your best offering, and we're going to anoint the handkerchief with olive oil and send it to you, you know, that whole thing. And I believed that this is real. And my parents, my dad, many of our family members, we would often hear that our uncle is the greatest man of God on planet Earth, and quite likely and possibly the greatest man of God to ever live, that we were a part of that heritage, that we were going to inherit that anointing. And like Elisha and Elijah, the mantle of my uncle was going to fall on, in particular, me, because I was the oldest hen boy in the next generation, which in the Middle Eastern families, it was sort of like a rite of passage. And when you're the oldest, you get all the blessings type thing. And we'd get the double portion and do it just like him. So I was all in, Bob. I believed this stuff wholeheartedly.
Wow. The book, and we are going to get to the book, but I'm fascinated to hear Costi's testimony. And we know some people in common. I'm not going to mention their names. I know that you would know them because they were really, really connected to your uncle. But anyway, the book is More Than a Healer by Costi Hinn. It is published by Zondervan. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. I mean, it really is. One more question on this. What kind of a rift did this cause in your family? How public were you in denouncing the word faith teaching from your uncle and your family?
I was really private at first. I went to my family, and in probably both ignorance but just genuine love for them, we're a very close-knit family, I went to them. And by this point, for better or for worse, you know, don't judge me here if you don't agree with everything he teaches, but I had a John MacArthur study Bible at this point, and I took it, and I went to my dad and my family.
I love it.
And here's what I did to Bob. I actually thought that, like, everybody would be blown away, because there in the Bible, you just read 1 Timothy 3:1-7. This is a true story. I opened it up with my father and some family members in my little apartment. I had kind of moved away from that world. So you can imagine, we're broke. We live in this dingy apartment. I invite them over. It's unimpressive. And here I'm going to tell them, listen, this is the true gospel. And so I open up 1 Timothy 3:1-7. I read it, and then I explain all the terms. And I said, listen, I know this might sound crazy, but trust me, you guys, I came to know the truth, and you're all false teachers, and you're actually heretics, but listen, there's hope.
Wow.
You can repent. You could come to the truth. And I've got some friends of mine. I know kind of what Uncle Benny and you guys think of John MacArthur, but just wait a minute. These guys, I think they would help you. And nobody wants to hurt you and take away everything and never let you come back to do anything in the body of Christ. Nobody wants to just send you to hell. Listen, you can change. I've changed. It's all going to be fine. And you can imagine, Bob, I genuinely meant well. My wife was sitting there. We were newlyweds. And they were not happy. And nobody wants to hear from your, 20-something-year-old kid, hey, you're all false teachers, but don't worry. I found the solution.
Wow.
And that didn't go well. A couple of years went by. Nobody really talked to me. And now my parents and I have a really good relationship. They've moved out away from a lot of that stuff. And we have good dialogue. Both of my sisters are we have decent communicative relationships, but they're still in that world. And then my uncle, he won't talk to me. And I've sent them messages. I've tried to get a hold of him when he came out and repented a couple of years ago for some things to try to get the momentum back with ministry. I reached out to him and said, if you're for real, I'll be at your front door tomorrow. I love you. This is not a crusade against you. It's about the truth. And he didn't respond, but I still, like everybody, want to see my family saved.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stop being faithful as a pastor. No. I'll add one more thing really quick. The reason I became vocal about this stuff was after being stripped of my pastoral title, after being discipled by my pastor, who's still a mentor to me, after going to seminary, I begin to get asked why in the world I'm a hen, but I'm a Bible church guy. It was weird to people. So I'd explain the story, and then eventually people, well, you write an article on this. Could you deal with this issue? And then Zondervan said, hey, if you, a couple of publishers came and said, if you wrote this in a book and then taught on how prosperity theology is dangerous, but put the true gospel in front of people, would you do that? I had fell in love with writing in books after never reading a book. Then seminary changed my life.
And with that, Costi, I've got to take a break. In fact, we're about 2 minutes over. But and that book was God, Greed, and Prosperity Gospel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. We're talking with Costi here, and we've got to take a break. We'll be back. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. My guest, Costi Hinn.
Today's news, God's word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
If you're struggling with this whole thing of faith healing, faith healers, prosperity gospel, name it and claim it, and you want a thoroughly biblical approach, get my guest book, God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel by Costi Hinn, H-I-N-N, and his latest book, More Than a Healer. His new book is by Zondervan Books. I've got it in my hands. It is excellent. Costi, again, welcome to the program. One more question about your uncle. A couple of years ago, as you mentioned, he came out, was very public, and repented of his false teaching, of his false doctrine, asked for forgiveness. I would think that he would have immediately picked up the phone and said, nephew, you were right, and I want to have a close relationship with you now that we agree. But evidently that has not happened.
No, that didn't happen. And when I called over and talked to one of my family members in particular, and then also my father, who had had a discussion with him, he was still really upset at me. And one of the key things was he got a lot of flack right away. And this is something not a lot of people know, but just being on the inside of a lot of this, I do. The amount of people that called him from his world was remarkable. He got pushed back from people who had a lot of money and a lot of influence on the line. And he was told to tone it down. And that's why this world, Bob, is very much like the mafia.
Right.
If you push against it, you are kicking a hornet's nest and you're messing with the cash cow of a lot of these major preachers. And so, unfortunately, he didn't take it much further. And the sad part is, if people go, well, what is that, you know, in the Bible, or how do you quantify all this? Sadly, as it stands right now, I see at the end of 2 Peter 2, where Peter says, you know, a lot of false teachers will, like the proverb says, they'll go back to, they'll return to their vomit. And not to be vulgar, that's what Peter says. A lot of these false teachers will go back to their old ways. And so what we're looking for is not a one-time repentance, but what we're looking for is a total transformation, like Zacchaeus. And that's what I pray for still for my uncle.
Well, we have dear friends that were very, very, very involved with the biggest names, including your uncle. And they saw the light, left, and they were told, they were cursed, and they would lose their salvation. And I think that's pretty typical in the movement, isn't it?
It is. We were told that we need to watch our back, both physically and spiritually. We were told that we are going to be struck with diseases or even killed. I had one particular stretch of time where we received death threats. And that is, it's like Scientology, where you're labeled the suppressive person. Mm-hmm. And if anyone associates with you, they're out too.
Well, all right, let's get to the book, More Than a Healer. When I have an author on the air, I always ask, what's the genesis of the book? You enjoy writing, but writing a book is hard work. What prompted you to write More Than a Healer?
Couple of things. First, after God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel, there was more to say, more to write, and more to explore on this topic that wasn't just going to be for people that are steeped in these abuses and this type of heretical teaching, but for all of us. The idea that Jesus is our healer is something that's prevalent, even in American culture. I would consider us all susceptible to the Prosperity Gospel light, or like the diet version, where if I'm obedient and I'm a good person, and, you know, some people think if, you know, you vote Republican and you do this and do that, you go to church and you're conservative, all of those things mean that God is going to bless you, that you're a good person, and that you're not really going to go through a ton of hard times, that your kids are going to get good grades, and life's going to be awesome. And I think that sort of white picket fence American dream is something that is desirable for all of us. There's nothing wrong with wanting a comfortable life, but when suffering hits us, and sickness in particular, people will sometimes think, well, did I do something wrong? Is God mad at me? Maybe I'm not doing this enough or doing that enough. Yeah. And then we got hit with our own situation. Our son at 3 months old, he's now 3 years old, was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. And I remember family members saying, this is what you get for touching the Lord's anointing.
Oh, wow.
And one in particular insinuated that it would be bad enough if me or my wife got sick, but God really wanted to judge us. And so he struck our kid with cancer, and now we have to watch him suffer. And in that moment, you know, your blood boils as a parent, but then truth takes over and your emotions bow. I remember going back to the sovereignty of God. My wife did as well, and we were able to share truth about God's sovereignty in being good, even though things are not. And I begin to think, this is the standard for so many people. Bad things happen, and a lot of their friends and family will say, well, you must have done something to upset God. So I wanted to take people's eyes past the healing, point them to the healer, and put a book together that would draw them closer to Christ.
All right, we've got to take a break, and Costi has very graciously agreed to go one more segment. My guest, Costi Hinn, the book, More Than a Healer. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.